Hey, everybody, welcome in to Speak Up. You know, it's Tuesday, May 30th, and my name is Barbara, and we are continuing our series of radio times with you with our law enforcement and first responder, the men and women who are there when we call 911 and we need help. They are the ones who are responding, and so we are seeking to honor them and also to learn a little bit more about them. I'm learning so much about the various things. You know, we know what we've learned on TV, but now we're going to get to the real stuff. And my guest today is Sergeant Justin Scotch. He is an officer, a sergeant with the Idaho State Police. And one of the things that I'm just so interested in having Justin share with you today is all the divisions of the Idaho State Police. And you think you know some of them, and you do, but there are divisions and responsibilities that the Idaho State Police have that are amazing, and I think they're going to surprise you. So stick around. We have a lot of good information for you. And as usual, we're going to take our first break right now.
I call myself a confident backseat driver. Mom, brakes, please.
Gotcha.
But I'm less confident in the economy.
Same here, buddy.
Thankfully, Les Schwab Tires helps make sure that our safety never takes a backseat, even when we're watching our wallets.
Hurry in and save up to $200 on a set of four tires, plus get an extra $50 off with financing. Limited time offer while supplies last. Terms and conditions apply. Details at leschwab.com/sale.
Under the Sun in downtown Bonners Ferry is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Check them out for lots of new and different merchandise. They have great ways to show off your green thumb with ideas for your garden. Enjoy the downstairs market. Relax in the upstairs loft. Enjoy a coffee or bite to eat in the outdoor seating park or on the patio. Under the Sun, downtown Bonners Ferry, where the sun is always shining.
Hi, this is Chad Young from the EasyHomeBuyer.com, Spokane and Coeur d'Alene's trusted cash home buyer. Despite record interest rate increases and home values dropping, I am still buying houses. If you own a house and want to sell as is in as little as 1 week, call me for your fair cash offer at 208-877-6000. We've helped hundreds of sellers in the area sell fast for cash and pay no commissions or fees. We are the highest rated cash home buying company in our area because we guarantee a closing and we care about our customers. We are a local family-owned company that buys houses, vacant land, and apartments. To get your free cash offer today, visit us online at theeasyhomebuyer.com or call us at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000. Play that catchy jingle.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-704-9936. 800-704-9936. 800-704-9936.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody. All right. Welcome back in. Say hello and welcome with me to Sergeant Justin Scotch, Idaho State Police. Justin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Barbara. I'm very excited to be here.
I am, too. I'm really looking forward to this. So let's start with some of the history. I think the history of the Idaho State Police is very interesting. How did the organization actually get started?
So the Idaho State Police actually started as the Bureau of Constabulary back in 1919, and it was a very small force. I believe it was only four officers at the time, and that went on for about 10 years, and their job was to investigate various crimes throughout the state. And then in 1929, the Bureau was eliminated, and they created the State Highway Patrol. And back then, it was a 15-officer force, and their main task was to reduce accident rates by patrolling the highways. So that went on for approximately 10 years, and then through legislation, we became the Idaho State Police back in 1939.
Yeah.
And we've been the Idaho State Police since then.
Ever since. Praise God for that. Well, listen, this is the thing that, and I know you don't have an answer for this, but the legislature dissolved kind of the constabulary back then in 23, and then the Idaho State Police began in 39. I mean, I'm thinking maybe this was kind of a lawless place for 16 years.
Yeah, it certainly could have been.
There were some gap years in there where we didn't have this going on.
And that was well before my time. So
yeah.
You're right. I don't have an answer on that one.
I know. Well, we all know that that was back during the Roaring Twenties and then the years of the Depression. And so anyway, I think it was, Idaho has always been a sweet place, but I think it might have been a little wild back
then.
Yeah,
it might have been back in the day, yeah.
All right, well, I had talked to the audience on the introduction about all the different divisions, and the one I want to start with is the division that you're in, which is patrol, I understand.
Yes.
So first of all, describe for our audience what that division is all about and what the various responsibilities or duties are.
So our patrol division, so throughout the state of Idaho, we actually have six districts, and our six districts cover a certain amount of counties. For instance, I work in District 1, which is headquartered out of Coeur d'Alene, and then so that's District 1 area, and we have multiple even divisions within patrol. So I work patrol, and the way that works is, say you have your typical trooper. They have a take-home patrol vehicle, either a Dodge Charger, a Tahoe, or a Ford Explorer, and they go out and they work their four-day shift. They check in service in their garage, back out in their patrol vehicle, and they go out and patrol the highways in the state of Idaho in their selected area. But within patrol, we have a motor division, which is our motorcycle unit. We have commercial vehicle safety troopers who go out and enforce commercial motor vehicle laws. And then we also have specialties within that. So we have our DUI team, which is what I currently supervise. We have our domestic highway enforcement team, or we could call that the drug team, where they go out and find large amounts of drug trafficking and other kinds of criminal interdiction. We have a crash reconstruction program. We have unmanned aerial systems or drone pilots. So we have a lot of different facets within our patrol division that we carry out throughout the entire state.
That is so interesting. So so like dividing out motorcycle commercial from like domestic drug interdiction and probably searching cars. And
yeah, that certainly is a part of that
traffic
job.
Stops, sure. Where they're looking for that. And then DUI. On your last week, I had the privilege of talking with both the chief and a sergeant with Pend'Oreille Police, and they are in the process of raising money for a canine colleague,
sure.
A dog, to help them. And so anyway, yeah, I want to just take a minute and remind our audience they are raising monies for that. They're not going to use tax money. So if you're interested in donating, they're going to be raising money all summer, all fall. I really encourage you all to get behind that because they need that. Which leads me, do you guys in either your drug or your DUI group, do you have a canine handler?
So we do have a canine group or a division within the state police. And here in District 1, we have one canine dog, uh-huh. which is attached to our domestic highway enforcement team, our DHE team.
The drug team.
Yeah.
He's got the nose for drugs, I'll bet.
Certainly does, yes. And he has been very busy in the past couple of years. So, you know, we have an influx of fentanyl coming into our area. And, you know, all the other drugs that we've seen throughout the years, meth, heroin, cocaine, they're all marijuana. All of these drugs are running across our highways, and our DHE team is out there, you know, trying to stop that.
And there's been a big influx of that.
Yes.
In our area. Certainly Pend'Oreille Police with Highway 95 and 200 East West and 2 they say they have had an increase also, and they feel like that's like their number one issue. Do you and the ISP feel that drug interdiction, drug stops is your number one issue? I apologize, everyone. I've got notes on my phone, and so it's going to ding at me a little bit. Let me see if I can get that stopped. But is that your number one issue?
I wouldn't put a number in terms of ranking for us, because we have so many important issues that we handle. So we handle our DUIs, and DUI enforcement for me is very important because I've been affected by it in my job, seeing so many terrible fatality or serious injury crashes. But obviously, drug interdiction and drug use can tie into DUI. So it's certainly a very important thing, but also we're big on traffic safety and the motoring public. And that's another important thing for us. Reckless or aggressive driving, speed, following too close, all of these different items. So I don't think I don't want to rank anything as being more important than the other. We do it all. So.
Well, let's take a look then back at patrol, which would be the traffic issues. And that's your area?
Yes.
All right. So, first of all, I have to tell you that I made a joke last week about your name.
Uh-oh.
That I thought it was either really ironic or just my twisted sense of humor that the guy who is one of the team leaders for our DUI patrols had a last name of Scotch.
Yeah, it comes up a lot during traffic stops. Usually the first thing I'm told is, you look like you're 12. How are you a police officer? And then the other thing is they see my name plate.
I can't believe your name is Scotch.
Yeah.
And you're going to give me a breathalyzer.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about that then. What is it when you're out on patrol, what are you looking for if you're considering making a traffic pullover, a traffic stop?
Right. So my job is obviously to enforce all laws in the state of Idaho, but also all traffic code and traffic enforcement. Typically, you know, when someone is impaired and they're driving, either they're high on drugs or they're impaired by alcohol, we'll see multiple different things. We'll see either they're driving under the speed limit, driving over the speed limit, weaving within their lane, leaving their lane of travel, driving aggressively, and the list can go on and on. So we look for all of those different items. Sometimes it can be as simple as they have an equipment violation, a headlight out or a taillight out. We end up stopping them. And then through our investigation and our conversation with the driver, things can develop into a possible DUI investigation.
When you approach the car, are you always with a partner, or sometimes are you alone in the car?
I would say, I don't know if I could put a percentage on it, but it's rare that I have a partner.
Okay.
And that is why we have such rigorous training as state troopers, because a lot of the time we are alone.
Yes.
And if I need backup, it's usually 5 to 15 minutes out, if not more, if I'm in a rural area. So
walk us through, if you can, a traffic stop. I was going to say typical, but they're probably all a little different. But, you know, I know that, you know, it seems to me you're really observant as you approach. You approach slowly and you're looking. What are you looking for as you approach that vehicle?
So I'm certainly very cautious when making my approach on a traffic stop. I typically try to make my approach on the passenger side of the vehicle, and that's for a couple different reasons. One is it keeps me away from the road edge or the traffic side of the traffic stop, but also I can actually have a better view of the inside of the vehicle and the driver and the occupants if I come up on the passenger side.
Yes.
So I do take my time. I'm looking for movements within the vehicle, movements by the passengers or the occupants. I'm looking at the side view mirrors. So those actually give me a pretty advantageous look into the vehicle or at the driver or occupants before I reach the vehicle. And then I'll slowly make my approach on the side and say hello and introduce myself to the occupants.
What's the risk? So at some point you do move around to the driver's side when you're asking for insurance and ID and roll down the window or whatever?
I typically, if I can.
You stay on the passenger side.
I guess I'll
side.
Use the word, I try not to use the word routine because, right. As you said, there's no routine traffic stop. But if I'm going to make my typical traffic stop where I'm not going to have the driver or occupants exit the vehicle, I typically stay on the passenger side and I can conduct all of my business on that side of the vehicle.
That is really interesting. I think that's somehow new, at least in my way of thinking, though. I also also am almost never stopped ever.
Yeah. Well, you think about it too. On the passenger side, most people keep their documents in the glove box.
Right.
So I can see into that glove box from the passenger side. I'm not going to have as good of a view from the driver's side. Also, if I approach on the driver's side, the door panel itself could obstruct my view of the driver's hands. If they maybe have a weapon, mm-hmm. I can see a lot better from the passenger side of the vehicle.
Yeah, you've got more. Yeah, I can understand that. Your back a little ways, you have a wider view,
right.
Especially if there's no passenger there.
Sure.
Yeah, it's exactly. Even better. Yeah. So do most people, and again, I'm kind of looking for trends in that, are most people cooperative?
Yes.
They kind of know what – they know they were speeding or they know this or they
most,
know that.
Most people are very cooperative.
They give it up. They confess right away. Well, you're right. I was going too fast.
Sure. You know, that does – most people are very honest, and that's what I appreciate, especially – you know, my goal in being a police officer and a state trooper is I want to be the nicest officer anybody's ever met because, you know, there's that feeling like you get – everybody's nervous to get pulled over by the police, obviously. Mm-hmm. But people think that, you know, we put on our drill sergeant campaign cover. We look like we're straight out of the military, and it's intimidating. And my goal is not to intimidate people. I purposely don't wear sunglasses on traffic stops because I don't want to add that intimidation factor or fear. But I also have an appearance that I need to uphold. So our campaign cover and our nice uniform and just try to be the nicest I can to people so they have a good experience and they can go, hey, you know, that wasn't as bad as what I saw on Cops last night or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. I know, because that's kind of what we know.
Sure.
For most of us. You know, we just came out of a big holiday weekend. I don't know. It seems to be Memorial Weekend is just famous for drinking and
sure
partying
is.
And grilling. And, you know, more than I can't even think. Maybe New Year's and the holidays are the other high times for people, DUI. So tell us about this weekend. You were on patrol.
I was.
How was it?
You know, I was saying to some of the other troopers and a fellow sergeant last night, I said, I think this is the busiest Memorial Day I remember. And it was weird because the traffic volume, it wasn't like continuous bumper to bumper. I worked a lot of Highway 95 between like Athol and Hayden area.
Okay.
So we had troopers throughout all five northern counties in North Idaho. And the traffic, it wasn't bumper to bumper. It was just consistent. Sometimes you'd have some breaks, but we just had a lot going on all at once. We actually had three traffic pursuits within, I want to say an hour, hour and a half time, two of which I was involved in. So that kept us busy in terms of the DUI arrests throughout the whole weekend. So I'm part of the North Idaho DUI Task Force as well. So that's multiple agencies within North Idaho. We had 13 DUI arrests within just that 4-day span or 3-day span that we worked. So,
and that would be up significantly from just any other normal non-holiday weekend.
Yeah, we still stay very busy with DUI investigations, but that did seem pretty high. I can tell you just my coworkers down in Boise also did an emphasis and they were up in the 20s.
Oh,
arrests.
Of course, there's more population.
Obviously,
down there,
higher population.
It's going to go higher.
Yeah, but it was busy. I mean, we had a lot of drug seizures, warrant arrest. Like I said, we had three pursuits and they were all yesterday within, I want to say it was, well, two of them were within 4 minutes of each other. One of which I was involved in, and then we had later on another motorcycle run from us. And
the pursuit that you were involved in, what were the circumstances?
Yeah, so I'd actually checked into service, and again, we have take-home cars, so I just left my driveway, went out to patrol, and I was heading towards Bayview, and I was on Highway 54, and had a motorcycle doing 77 in the 60. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to turn around and have a conversation with that individual. And he went by me. I noticed he had a passenger on the bike. So I turned around and started to catch up to him and realized, hey, I think this guy might be running from me. Because it took me a minute to catch up. Obviously, my Dodge Charger is faster than his cruiser motorcycle.
Were you lights at that point? Not yet?
At that time, I had my rear lights on. And there wasn't much traffic, so I was just trying to catch up. I didn't know this was a looting case at that time. I was just trying to catch the guy.
Oh.
And once I got closer, I turned on my lights, and he started weaving through traffic because we had entered that 35 zone in Athol. And the train started to come across the tracks and traffic was backing up coincidentally. So I said, no, there's no way I'm not even going to try this one because he's going to either harm himself, his passenger, or the general public. And those are huge concerns of ours.
Yeah.
Obviously, we do pursue people. We have a big policy about it, but we have to make sure that the safety of the public is paramount and the safety of the rider as well. So we can't just chase everybody till the wheels fall off, right, especially on a speed stop.
So you basically let him, did he go across the train track before?
No. So the train had started coming, the arms were down and traffic was backing up. So he was starting to split through traffic at a, I would say a high rate of speed for that area because it's a 35 zone. And he ended up heading south in one of the streets in Athol. And I just turned my lights off and stopped it there because it's just not worth it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, your safety as well as the public that might be, and his safety also, and certainly his passenger.
Yeah. Just because, yes, he broke the law. He was speeding, first of all, and then he was running from me. But I also still care about the person.
What was going on.
Right.
In the Daily Beat today, I don't know if you saw it, there was an article about a single woman driving who was fleeing an officer who was trying to pull her over, and she took a side road. I don't know. I think it was saying deputy, so I don't know if that was ISP or sheriff. I think it might have been sheriff.
That would probably be a sheriff's
and
department.
And so he went past her turnoff, wherever it was. He figured she'd come back out because that wasn't where she probably intended to go, and sure enough, she did. Finally, he got her stopped. But what was interesting to me is that she pulled off at a restaurant parking lot right here at Sandpoint and then got out of her car and tried to run and tried to get into the restaurant. It's like, none of this is going to work. I mean, the restaurant. There was nothing. There were no warrants. There were no, traffic violations on her record. There was nothing in her car. She was not drunk. Do you know why she was running? She didn't want to get a ticket. She thought she could get out of getting a ticket. And now she's like in jail on like four counts of resisting arrest and fleeing an officer. And
we had a similar situation yesterday. Same thing. My pursuit ended and another one began 4 minutes later. And it, from what I know of the situation, I actually came up here. It was in Bonner County. And one of my troopers was in the pursuit, found out that there was really nothing. There was no reason to run there. I don't believe he was impaired. There were no issues with his license that would prevent him from driving legally. He just ran from the trooper and was apprehended. So it happens more than you would think that people just run because they don't want to get a ticket.
They don't want to get a ticket. Yeah. I just, just God bless this young or this woman because, I think that people, you said that, people might feel intimidated.
Sure.
I feel happy when I see you guys. I don't see you ever in my rearview mirror, but when I just see you out there, then it makes me feel good.
Well, we're very fortunate, especially in Idaho. We have a great community that they love their law enforcement and regularly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm stopped by someone in the public thanking me.
Thanking you.
Glad we're out there. And so,
we're thanking you today and wanting you to take home this message to all of your colleagues and certainly Lieutenant Ashby, right?
Yes, absolutely.
He's the one that set this up for me with you, and I appreciate that. All right, we're up against our next break. We're going to take that right now.
Everybody knows that Anderson's Auto Body is full service. They'll even come and get your rig and take it to the shop. We'll go to Sandpoint, Blanchard, Coolin, Cocalala, Old Town, Dover, Naples, Walla Walla, Sagal, Coburn, Newport, Bonner's Ferry, Moyer, Kootenai, Clark Fork, Sugar City, Bayview, Garfield, Hope, and Coeur d'Alene, Post Vault, Kerrywood, Athol, Aberdeen. We'll go anywhere, man, almost everywhere, man. We'll brave the mountain air, man.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free, quick quote. Call 800-736-6158 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-736-6158. That's 800-736-6158. What do you have to lose? Call 800-736-6158. Again, 800-736-6158.
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work. the kids, but I don't think about taking melatonin because I'm afraid I'll feel groggy in the morning.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies has an optimal dose of melatonin for no next day grogginess, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake up feeling refreshed. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies for better sleep like never before. And try Pure Z Sleep plus Next Day Energy with melatonin plus extended release B vitamins.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. You can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters need them. We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders!
Thank you, first responders!
Learn how you can help first responders by texting BRAVE to 24365.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
All right, you guys, you are enjoying a conversation today with Sergeant Justin Scotch. He is with the Idaho State Police, and he is right now in their patrol division. He's been in, I guess, a couple of other divisions in his time with ISP. So let's take a look at Justin with these other divisions. First of all, there's one called the investigation, and these are the detectives, right?
Yes.
And what is their responsibility?
So we have the investigations division. Each district, so the six districts in the state, have their own investigations division. So District 1, they're in our investigations division. They have kind of two sides. So they have their drug investigation side, and they have a general crime side. So drug investigations are obviously what you would expect. They're out there looking for people that are out there selling large quantities of various illegal narcotics or illegal drugs, and they're trying to prevent that from happening or stop that from happening. So, and then we also have our general crimes, which they will investigate anything from homicides. And we have some investigators that do crimes against children. Could be any kind of computer crime or any just large scale crime within the state of Idaho that happens within our district.
So I'm under, so the patrol division is out there and they may stop a vehicle and the canine unit finds drugs. And this is when then the detectives take over and they investigate and they look for, you know, maybe the suppliers. They bring it in to see if it can get to a courtroom situation. Is that?
Yeah. So, you know, every traffic stop's different. Sometimes we might stop someone and seize a small amount of narcotics, and we can still call the detectives. You never know how a case will turn or which way it will go. But there are those cases, especially with our drug enforcement team. They'll go out and they'll find a large amount of drugs that are being trafficked through our state, and that could in turn then involve our narcotics team and the detectives. They'll come out and start their process as well.
So. The same way with a homicide or a serious crime, a kidnapping, officers are there obviously at the beginning, and then at some point, if it's needed or determined necessary, bring in the detectives.
Yeah, especially because, you know, they have the expertise, the skills, they have the equipment, and they have the time to investigate these.
The
continuing investigation.
Yeah. And you were a detective.
I was.
With the ISP.
Yeah, I did just about 2 years as a detective, and I did, you know, a lot of different kinds of investigations in doing that.
Can I ask why you left that and you went into patrol?
So I actually, I started as a trooper. I worked as a trooper for 3 years. And during that time, I was also on our honor guard team. And an opportunity came up for me to promote to detective, which is basically in the same building. And I took the promotion. It was a great experience. I learned so much in a different part of law enforcement. And just about at my 2 year mark, I had an opportunity to move down to Boise, and I was in our training section. So I tested and promoted into our training section where we train all of our officers yearly on recurring training, but also we train our new recruits who will become troopers. So we have our own in-house academy. And at the time I was a firearms instructor, and I had a large passion in teaching and instructing people. And I still actually do that. But I really enjoyed that experience down in Boise, mm-hmm. Being in our training section.
That's awesome. Because, well, another question that occurs to me is, what about the interaction with other law enforcement agencies? Does the sheriff's office ever call you in on a kidnapping or a homicide? I know they have their own detectives, but is there ever any where you detectives might get loaned out to another law enforcement agency, police or sheriff?
Yeah, actually, it happens quite often, especially if you know, let's say a department doesn't have the resources and they need help with an investigation. We have great cooperation with our law enforcement partners. It happens quite regularly, actually.
That is just so good to hear. All right. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but there are other divisions, and we're going to list them out right now. And I was just blown away by some of this. First of all, the Brands Board. The Brands Board conducts livestock brand inspection required for ownership. So it's a specific brand of livestock leaving Idaho and for slaughter or for slaughter here. I mean, I would never have guessed that you guys are there making sure that's a Black Angus, not a Longhorn Texan or
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely. And they also do brand inspections on the equestrian side too, horses.
Horses. Yep. So all kinds of livestock.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one, the Racing Commission. Tell our audience what the Racing Commission does in the ISP.
Yeah. So I actually haven't worked with the Racing Commission before, but basically they...
You have horses. You
I
should.
I know. Right. But they do handle a lot of the actual horse racing within Idaho. So that's what the commission was brought about for.
I know. Now, forensic services, that one doesn't surprise me. You have your own forensic labs.
We have labs throughout the state, but we have one here in the Coeur d'Alene area. Okay. And they actually do a lot for us. So they will weigh and test our drugs. Let's say we seize narcotics or seize something on a traffic stop. We send it to the laboratory. They'll weigh it and they'll test it for the quantification. Also, if we have a DUI and we pull a blood sample from the suspect, they'll test the blood for the blood alcohol content or to see if they are impaired on some sort of drug. So they're very busy. They also can do, any kind of gun testing for like a homicide
or
fingerprinting, all sorts of different things. Yeah.
I may be way off here, and I'm going to have the Idaho or the Sandpoint Police Department on here in a couple of weeks, so I will ask them this also. But I'm pretty sure Sandpoint Police, they do not have a forensic lab.
No, most departments that I know of use the Idaho State Police forensic labs throughout the state.
They use your labs.
Yes.
Okay, and that would be same with the Sheriff's Department, I'm assuming,
yeah,
Pondere Police.
It all goes through our laboratory.
That is so good. All right, so here's another one, and I guess this one doesn't surprise me that much, but you, the Idaho State Police, have your own cyber crimes unit specializing in crimes involving computers and the internet. What can you tell me about that?
So, they're going to be headquartered out of Boise.
Okay.
And they work alongside with like the Idaho Criminal Intelligence Center. So it's kind of like an Idaho drug tip hotline. They work on threat assessments, case deconfliction between different agencies or similar cases. They can do a lot with those kind of investigations.
Okay. So, yeah. And I would think maybe scams, if we've got computer or phone scams, that they might have a database that would help.
And
that.
I don't know, to be honest with you,
right.
I don't know everything
I
that
understand.
They do, because that's not a division I've ever worked in, but you know, they are part of the state police.
Well, you've got your own dispatchers, of course, which doesn't surprise me.
They're very important. Without them, I could not do my job.
They
are
so important. And I'm going to have dispatchers on here,
maybe
even next week. I just haven't got that nailed down yet.
It'll be good for you to see, you know, their side of it.
I can't wait. And they are critical. They are the first ones who get the call from the officers in the field or the paramedics or the fire. You know, they're the ones that are dispatching out these various responder units.
I mean, I think about the pursuits yesterday. You know, mine happened, and obviously without dispatch, my backup, I could put it over the radio, but they're the ones that are actually helping me get my backup to try to stop, you know, the eluding driver. But also 4 minutes later, we had this other pursuit up here in Bonner County, and they were able to say, hey, can you switch over to that channel? Because as a sergeant, I have to monitor other events. So I went right from my pursuit to another pursuit within a 4 minute time.
You guys have got to think really fast.
Yeah. But they were able to help coordinate that with me. I honestly would have had no idea that another trooper was in pursuit 20, 30 miles north of me.
So here's another division that I didn't realize, and that is that you provide the physical protection for the governor of our state as well as other dignitaries that may need special protection. You guys are like the Secret Service around here.
In a way, yes. We do have our own, I guess you would say, Secret Service team or executive protection. So we do protect the governor, and we have executive protection troopers throughout like every district, all of the six. But we have an actual full-time team down in Boise. And their job is protect the governor and, like you said, dignitaries.
How do they get nominated for that? Do just people apply because that's what they want to do? It seems to me that like Secret Service for the president, it's kind of a very high level job.
Sure.
You know, it has a lot of power behind it. You know, I'm walking with the president.
Sure.
This is walking with the governor, maybe.
Well, and it's long hours too, because
when
the governor's going somewhere, you have to go as well. So obviously, you know, he's a busy man. He's running a state, and so his hours they fluctuate quite often. So they work long hours, but typically, if you want to be on the executive protection team, there has to be a position, and it's a promotion. It's a testable position, but also, like I said, throughout the districts, if they are coming up north, let's say to Coeur d'Alene with the governor, we have other troopers that will fill in that have specific training in that area, and they will help with
the
events.
So the team from Boise doesn't necessarily have to travel up to Coeur d'Alene, or
they do. Yeah, maybe not all of them. I couldn't really speak to that, but they do travel with the governor regularly, and they'll just tie in with the other troopers just so they have more people, more hands on deck.
I am just so impressed with the scope and the breadth of the responsibilities of the ISP. We see the patrol vehicles and the you patrol people, the men and women who do that. I guess I knew that there were investigators and detectives, but I just didn't know y'all were taking care of the brands of livestock that's running around.
And honestly, we've only scratched the surface on divisions that we have. I mean, we go deep into
there's even
how
more.
Much. Yeah, well, there's a lot.
Oh
more
my gosh, I'll have to have you back. We've
got
to go into more of these.
Yeah.
All right, we're up against our last break. Everybody, stick around with us because we have a lot more information coming your way.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Sasquatch.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. I know it's exciting. 8 foot furry mammal walking totally upright. Still, I'm driving to the show tonight, and the radio is talking about how Northern Quest in Spokane, Washington, I guess it's now the largest casino resort in the Pacific Northwest, which is cool, and I'll give them that. But then this guy takes it one step further, calling Northern Quest the most exciting thing in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, how far can they throw an unsuspecting hiker, right? Apparently, they've got the second hotel tower, the casino, the steakhouse, the day spa, the nightclub, the sports book, etc., and a players club card that lets you earn and redeem points everywhere. I mean, is it just me, or does that sound like an urban legend? Right?
Details at northernquest.com.
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work, the kids. But I don't think about taking melatonin because I'm afraid I'll feel groggy in the morning.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies has an optimal dose of melatonin for no next day grogginess, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake up feeling refreshed. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies for better sleep like never before. And try Pure Z's Sleep plus Next Day Energy with melatonin plus extended release B vitamins.
Eleanor's diagnosis is acute myeloid leukemia.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Immediately when we got here, you get a nurse that walks around with you like for the first 3 days you're here to kind of give you the lay of the land and where to go. They know you're already drowning from the news that you're getting and why you're here, so they don't want you to have to figure stuff out by yourself. I know, like, you're here and you're not supposed to be happy or you're not supposed to smile, but it's hard not to when there's this giant community of strangers all working towards one goal. It doesn't matter where they come from, it doesn't matter what they believe, they are all fighting to end childhood cancer, and I think that's something that should be celebrated.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Honestly, you guys, we have got so much to talk about today with Justin Scotch. He's a sergeant with the Idaho State Police. I just booked him in for another program, though we're going to wait maybe until next fall so we can talk about winter driving. But he will definitely be back. So thank you again, Justin, for being with us. Let's go back to DUI stats and trends. Sure. What's going on with those numbers?
Yeah, so I was able to actually bring in some of the statistics for the past couple of years. So I've run our... at least the Idaho State Police District 1 DUI team. I've run that for a couple of years now, or over 2 years. But also I'm part of that North Idaho DUI Task Force, where there's multiple agencies that partner to prevent DUI driving, right? So awareness and education and enforcement, that's kind of our motto. But in 2021, just the Idaho State Police in District 1, so the five northern counties, we had 604 impaired driving investigations or DUI investigations. And we actually saw that number go down in 2022, went from 604 to 484. And a large part of that was, you know, the pandemic, COVID. So obviously the surrounding states were closed down more than Idaho was, and people were coming over to Idaho to drink at the bars. So
people were drinking at home.
Yeah, people were drinking everywhere, but Idaho,
watching movies and yeah, drinking at home.
So Idaho happened to just be open still, and we were really busy, especially downtown Coeur d'Alene. So we saw an influx in DUI arrest, and then last year that number went down a little bit. And then this year we've been busy so far. So I don't have a number in terms of a statistic for you where we're at so far, but we have, you know, I can tell you just
probably this, not going to decline.
Yeah.
Again.
Just this past week, Idaho State Police District 1, we had 11 DUI arrests just up here in the five northern counties. So you know, think about all the other agencies that are out working as well.
Right. One weekend too, even though it was a holiday weekend.
Right.
So we talked a little bit before about when we talk about DUIs, we're talking both alcohol and drugs. What are the laws that our audience needs to remember about, you know, when does a person get impaired? What are you looking for when you stop? What qualifies for a DUI?
So for alcohol, we're a per se state. So the per se legal limit is 0.08. So anything at 0.08 or above, that is against the law for a DUI. But also we have impaired drivers who are impaired on, it could be alcohol and drugs or just drugs.
It could even be prescription drugs.
It could
be. People if it's their prescription, but whether they're using somebody else's, it doesn't have to be just illegal drugs.
Yeah, and it could be a total legal prescription that either someone is new to taking it and they're not used to what it's doing to their system. They're abusing it or taking too much of it, taking something else, even though it's a prescribed medication to someone else, they're taking it. So there's so many different facets to that.
So what happens if it's your first DUI, what happens?
So typically on a first DUI, I'll go right from the arrest. So you're placed under arrest or taken into custody. We'll usually have you in the back of our patrol car and we'll read you what's called a notice of suspension. And that talks about the license suspension that will occur or that could occur post-arrest. So we'll read that form to you, and then typically we're going to offer a breath sample, and we have a what's called a LifeLock. It's a breath testing instrument that we can use right there roadside in our vehicle, and that will give us your breath alcohol content there. And then if it's over the legal limit of 0.08, that per se limit, you're likely going to be taken to the local jail and booked in for a DUI.
Okay. So, and then the punishment, if it is indeed a DUI and they don't, I don't know, they accept that. What is the punishment typically?
So it really depends. You know, we have different DUI laws within the state for the actual DUI or the crime of driving under the influence. So, for instance, if you were to be arrested three different times within 10 years and you receive convictions for those three arrests. So on your third one, if you have those two prior convictions and your third one's a conviction, that would be a felony. We also have...
That sounds pretty serious.
It is.
That sounds like some serious jail time.
It can be. Yeah. You know, obviously it ranges because obviously we're not the judge on that.
Right.
The judge has to make the determination, but it can vary. Also, if you...
So three DUIs within 10 years, that third time, you're really going to get hammered.
Yeah, that would be...
Probably.
Yeah, that'd be a felony conviction. And then if you were to have two excessive DUIs within 5 years, so an excessive is anything where your breath alcohol content or your blood alcohol content is above a 0.20. If you have two convictions of that within 5 years, that's a felony.
How does a person, okay, let's say that the typical guy weighs, let's say he weighs 180.
Sure.
How many drinks would you need, or how many would you need of hard liquor?
Well, so alcohol affects everybody different, obviously, but I would say using the rough math, that's, you're looking at 10 drinks.
Oh,
roughly,
my goodness.
Roughly.
So you've got to be doing some serious drinking.
Yes.
To get past 0.08.
Yeah, and we've seen it. I mean, we've seen 0.20. We've seen, I think one of the highest ones I've ever seen was a 0.33. It's amazing that the body can handle that.
Well, you know, really, the body really can't handle it.
That's true.
Especially if you're drinking like 10 drinks. I mean. Yeah.
But I mean, I've seen people that are just over the legal limit.
I haven't had 10 drinks. And, of course, there is no party anymore.
Yeah, sure.
You know, my party days are over. Yeah. But no, that's excessive at any point in time.
Depends on the tolerance, too. Some people can be just over the legal limit and
you
a new drinker.
You've seen the same people out on the road, DUI. I mean, it's like, oh, it's you again.
It happens, yeah. Especially, you know, my team of troopers, that's what we do. We're out there enforcing.
Oh, there
DUIs.
Was that license plate again.
I've read some reports.
We know this guy.
Yeah, I've read some trooper reports. I'm like, man, this name's familiar. I'm like, I arrested him last year or whatever. So it happens.
I'm sorry I keep saying guy. Like, I think it's the guys all the time.
I know, it's everybody.
It is everybody. So what do you see trends? We're seeing, you know, there was COVID kind of, you know, change things a little bit, but do you think that there's some improvement? Some, you know, people are learning. How about our young people? What about our young people? Do you see any trends there for the better or for the worse?
You know, in terms of a trend, it could be anybody that's a DUI driver. I can't say that I stop more college-aged students versus middle-aged people. It ranges. It varies. Especially on Memorial Weekend where everybody's out camping and having a good time. And it's just, we have a broad range of people that unfortunately are investigated for DUIs. So there's really no specific.
You know, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk to the Sheriff's Marine Division, and this is one of their issues also on the lake, where people somehow don't consider the boat to be like a vehicle, like the car. And it is. It is just as dangerous for you and others. We just had this is a very difficult example, but I'm sure you knew about the accident that was on the river a little over, I think it was a year ago. And the boat was going high speed. It was kind of rough out there, and it flipped.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Everybody was lost, and there was alcohol involved. Yeah. Very sad. But people just think boating is for fun. But people have the same idea on a holiday weekend, don't they, Justin?
Yeah.
They're just having fun. They're just grilling. They're just throwing down a couple of beers, and it can get serious really fast.
It can happen, obviously, on our highways.
Yes.
But I hear the calls from, at least, you know, I work the Kootenai County area, so I hear the sheriff's office with boat crashes and boating impaired. But also, we hear the county going to calls up in the mountains. Could be up in the Fernand Saddle or anywhere up in the beautiful mountains of Idaho where people are recreating on either UTVs or ATVs, and they're impaired and they end up crashing. And unfortunately, at times, it can lead to a fatality crash. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, you guys are just the best.
Well, thank you for that. Appreciate it.
You know, all the men and women of ISP, we depend on you. I said, I think it was last week's program, that I would rather sustain potholes and, you know, problems with my roads and whatever, as long as I know that you are equipped and maintained and salaried and get everything that you need. You're just more important to me than roads.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I don't like potholes.
Yeah, well, nobody likes potholes.
Exactly, but I'm willing to have a few.
Sure. Well, thanks for saying that. Appreciate it.
I'm glad that your perception of the general public here in North Idaho is supportive of you and that they honor you and that they don't all try to run away from you.
Not all of them, no. Just this the select few yesterday. So,
I have one other quick question. We've just got a few seconds.
Sure.
But why did you get into law enforcement? Kind of a long question, but what was the main thing that just pulled you in?
You know, honestly, I don't know if I have enough time for that one,
okay.
But I'll give you the
short version. We'll cover it again in November. Give me the short version.
Yeah, so I was in kindergarten. I'm from upstate New York, and we have there's a local city police department there. And in the play box, there was this police shirt and from the police department. And I remember I used to wear it every day, and they finally gave it to me when I left and went to, you know, elementary school. And it just kind of stuck with me. And then I joined the military and then finally moved out here to become a state trooper. And it just kind of stuck with me, the service and wanting to serve people, help people, but also protect the constitutional rights.
I love it. That's what I said to you before. You are a warrior protector in your heart. All right. Sergeant Justin Scotch, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks
and hey, everybody,
me.
Thanks for being with us today. Next week, I'm not sure who's going to be here. It may be dispatchers. I've got the Sheriff's Marine Division coming up. We are going to continue honoring our law enforcement first responders right here at the Speak Up Table. Until next week, this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves and may God richly bless you.